Support for WMFE comes from Orlando Science Center, offering four floors of wonder and discovery for families and curious minds of all ages, with exhibits, movies, and live shows that promote learning new skills, exploring fresh ideas, and cultivating a better understanding of the world around us. Tickets and more at osc.org.
From the studios at WMFE in Orlando, Florida, this is the Space Exploration Podcast that asks the question, are we there yet? Hi, I'm Brendan Byrne. After 15 years, NASA has declared Opportunity's mission complete. Earlier this week, the agency tried to contact the Mars rover one last time. The rover had been radio silent since June. Designed to only spend 90 days exploring, the mission far exceeded expectations, clocking in at a decade and a half while traversing 28 miles across the red planet. The mission captivated more than just the science community. The photos beamed back from the red planet gave everyone here on Earth incredible views of another world. Opportunity's death was grieved by many online in the form of comic strips, obituaries, and remembrances from the people that spent their careers working on the mission. To look back at Opportunity's legacy, we're speaking with Dan Batchelder. He's the head of aerospace, physics, and space sciences at Florida Tech. Dan Batchelder, thanks for joining us.
No problem. Always a pleasure.
Do you remember where you were when Opportunity landed?
Well, that's a rather telling question, isn't it? I mean, I was just finishing off or attempting to finish off the second year of my PhD back in 2000 and... when was it? 2003? Yeah, 2003. And so, yeah, I was just about to move from the United Kingdom over to the United States. And my research at that time was very heavily focused on the centers of galaxies using the Hubble Space Telescope. So it's only been in the last 5 years or so I've actually been doing research that's been needing to take the data from the Opportunity rover and the other rovers and actually integrate it into the research that we're doing here.
That's interesting you say that, because Opportunity was only supposed to spend a few days operating on the surface of Mars, and you're saying that you've been using data in the past 5 years from Opportunity.
Yes, that's right. I mean, this is one of the awesome achievements of the technology that we've been able to put onto the surfaces of other worlds. And one wonders whether or not the engineers purposely underestimate how long their equipment is going to last on there, so that we can all come around and praise them for the for reaching their requirements and exceeding them. Originally designed for a few months, but has actually gone on for over a decade, nearly 15 years. An absolutely incredible achievement. And, just the awe-dropping panoramas that have the jaw-dropping panoramas that have come from the images that we've received back from Opportunity and Spirit and Curiosity. They just do part of what we call the wonder and the wonder. We're a species that wonders about our place in the universe, and also wonders about our place in the universe, right? Both in terms of our curiosity and our thirst for knowledge and our desire to actually explore. And so I think the mission, the Opportunity mission, has just shown us what we can achieve and show us how much future opportunity there is for exploring the surfaces of planets like Mars with future robotic missions, and indeed, hopefully, within, you know, the cliche of the next 20 years, humans.
Dan Batchelder, I'm wondering if you can kind of give us a sense of just how harsh of an environment Opportunity is or was working in. What are the conditions like on Mars, and how did it kind of batter this robot for a decade and a half?
Well, the conditions on Mars that the Opportunity rover has had to endure are somewhat different than the conditions that we have here on Earth. So one of the biggest differences, of course, is that Mars is 1.5 times farther away from the sun than the Earth. And so it receives a lot less solar radiation. It is also a planet that has had its atmosphere eroded away by the solar wind. And so right now, the surface conditions are very low pressure, relatively cold, and an atmosphere that's comprised primarily of carbon dioxide. And so if you were standing on the surface of Mars, you would need a spacesuit. because of the atmospheric conditions. But a robot like Opportunity, of course, not having complex biological systems but complex mechanical systems, still has to take into account the fact that it's driving around in temperatures that are minus 100 Celsius, even colder in some cases, a very low pressure, and a very dusty environment as well. So if, for example, you consider how joints, mechanical joints here on Earth work, if you have metal on metal, you would use some kind of grease in between those joints. Well, for the engineering that has to take place to get a mission like Opportunity functioning, you have to know that, grease behaves very differently in low temperatures and low pressures. And if there's dust going to be getting into the joints of your mechanical arm, that is going to create a huge problem. And so, yes, the environment, the atmospheric environment on Mars is a challenge. But it's obviously something that Opportunity has met and exceeded. And so this is providing us with a lot of very exciting data that will go on and inform future missions, particularly as they get more and more complex, working towards hopefully what you and I, Brendan, hope to be a colony on the surface of Mars sometime within the next 20 years.
I'll see you there, Dan. I'm reminded of a time when that environment actually helped Opportunity, right? There was a storm that actually helped blow off some dust off of her solar panels. Can you talk about that a bit?
Sure, yeah. So out with mechanical devices, they obviously require power. And there are several ways to achieve that. You can use an onboard power source, or you can use the naturally occurring resources like the sun. And so in the case of Opportunity and Spirit, they both used solar panels in order to recharge their batteries so that they could carry on their missions. But, of course, because of the dusty environment, that dust is actually layering itself onto the surface of the rovers, including the solar panels. And so, of course, as you get a more dusty solar panel, the amount of light that actually falls onto the photovoltaic cells that are producing the energy to recharge the batteries actually drops. And so this is like a dirty window. It becomes harder and harder to see out of a dirty window. And the windows on top of the solar panels were getting layers and layers and layers of dust on them. So two things that happen with the rovers, very interesting. The first one is that because Mars does have a very thin atmosphere, there are some weather events that occur. In particular, there are dust devils, and there's some fantastic images of dust devils moving around the Martian surface. And so you can actually, and this did actually happen, the wind events that occurred on Mars were actually able to blow off some of the dust that had settled on the solar panels, and thus allowing more power from the sun to fall onto those photovoltaic cells and recharge the batteries. And so that extended the mission lifetime, particularly of Opportunity. And then, of course, another way of doing it is to drive up a bank so that the dust actually falls off the surfaces of the rover as well. So, yeah, you can both use the natural terrain and also the weather on Mars to help clean off your solar panels.
Now, after spending a decade and a half on the surface of Mars, I mean, the scientific data that's coming that came from Opportunity, we probably don't have enough time to talk about all of that. But can you give me some highlights of some of the big discoveries that we can credit to the exploration of Opportunity?
One of the most interesting discoveries from Opportunity happened relatively early in the mission, and that was it came across a meteorite sitting on the surface of Mars. And what's really interesting about the meteorites that we find on the surface of Mars is because they haven't had to go through as thick of an atmosphere that we have here on Earth, the meteorite that was found on the surface of Mars by Opportunity was actually the size of a soccer ball. So that's quite an impressive meteorite. Now, meteorites in themselves are really interesting because they are leftover remnants from the formation of our solar system. And so finding one of these things on the surface of Mars reiterated that Mars and Earth themselves, in the grand scheme of things, are relatively similar planets. They both formed around about the same distance from the Sun. Mars being just 1.5 times farther away from the Earth isn't such a big deal in the grand scale of the solar system, where Jupiter is 5 times as far and Saturn is 10 times as far. Mars and Earth formed around about the same distance from the Sun, around about the same time, from around about the same stuff. And so being able to find a meteorite on the surface of Mars, like finding meteorites on the surface of Earth, is just it was just a great reminder of the fact that we're so closely tied to Mars in terms of the history of the solar system. It was a very exciting reminder of that, along with all of the amazing science that can come from that.
And what about the search for life on Mars or signs of life on Mars? What role has Opportunity played in that?
So in terms of searching for signs of life, the overarching philosophy on that has been to follow the water. And that is a term that has been used to guide surface missions on Mars for decades. And so the idea is that life has to have liquid water in order for it to propagate. And so the position on the planet where Opportunity was chosen to land was one of the positions where it was thought that there was water activity in the past. And so it was purposefully landed in a particularly interesting spot in terms of being able to search for past signs of water activity. And so there are several key discoveries that Opportunity made, which demonstrated that, yes, in the past, there were areas of Mars where it was wet. And that is some data that's been consistent with the other landers that have been going on in the past decades. And I'm sure that the future landers are going to take that information and it's going to inform the science that's going to take place on future missions, and indeed maybe even support what we call in-situ resource utilization, which will be using the naturally occurring resources on Mars in order to help support future missions, including missions that will have crew.
So Opportunity is laying the groundwork for that colony you mentioned.
Yes, that's right. As well as the other rovers, the work that Opportunity has done, particularly in the length of the traverse, the length of path that has followed across the surface of the planet, has provided invaluable data that's going to go on and inform not only the science that we're carrying out in terms of finding out about the history of Mars as a planet, including the potential for it to have supported life in the past, but as well as the future of the surface of the planet in terms of, helping support the needs of a colony in terms of water and breathable air, and perhaps even the materials needed to grow plants on the surface of Mars within one of the habitats as well. So very exciting data that's been coming back, and we've been absolutely very grateful for that type of data to help support the research that we're doing here at Florida Tech.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, can you kind of talk a little bit more about that? Like, how is this kind of laying the groundwork for answering some of the questions you have and some of the future research that you're doing, both yourself and with your students there at Florida Tech?
So in terms of how Opportunity is informing the research that we're doing here at Florida Tech, it has played a central role. Essentially, what we joke that these rovers are basically big chemistry sets on wheels that are driving around on the surface of a planet telling us about what stuff they've been finding in terms of the chemistry. And so we've been taking the data that has come back from Opportunity, combining it with the data from Spirit and Curiosity as well. And we've been using that in order to reproduce as best we can materials that we find here on Earth so that they are a good simulant for the surface materials on Mars. And then once we have that simulant, and we think we've got pretty good simulants now, once we have that simulant, we're now using that in order to perform more chemistry to see whether we can actually reclaim or get out of that simulant usable materials like water and oxygen and metals to help support a colony. And also, it's going to be very useful to determine how this material will behave if we start to use it for helping in the construct of complex colonies, including the use of regolith as a radiation shield, including processing regolith into landing pads where we've got burns set up to stop where the dust and particles kind of being rocketed out as we've got future missions landing on the surface of Mars. And so these types of activities, you know, are really essential as we plan the next 20 years worth of science and engineering that's going to have to go into laying out the groundwork for a future mission to the surface. Yeah.
So opportunities laying the groundwork for these future missions. But after 15 years of exploring the Martian surface and providing data to scientists like you, what do you think its biggest legacy is going to be? When we look back decades from now, what will we remember about Opportunity?
Well, the first thing that's going to be remembered is that this was Opportunity was a mission designed for 90 days that lasted 15 years. I mean, that's an incredible feat of engineering. And we should take that as a great sign that we do have the capability of surviving in the harsh environments that that Mars presents us, and that we shouldn't underestimate the ability of this species to overcome the engineering challenges of actually getting people to the surface of Mars and having them operate there in a safe environment, an environment that is incredibly rich in scientific questions, and of course an environment that is ensuring that our species propagates our natural curiosity about our place in the universe and our natural tendency to propagate ourselves across the surface of our globe, as we've done, propagate ourselves into low Earth orbit. We've been in low Earth orbit now for longer than Opportunity's been on the surface of... we've had humans in low Earth orbit longer than Opportunity's been on the surface of Mars. And then, of course, with the future gateway, future colonies on the surface of the Moon and colonies on the surface of Mars, the fact that the fact that Opportunity has been operating for so long on the surface just gives us great, great data on how sustainable and how rugged the technology that we have developed already will be able to help with a sustained presence on human presence on the surface of these bodies. I mean, it's just fantastic.
And finally, Dan, I want to talk about the response to mission managers not being able to contact Opportunity, and the quote unquote death of the rover was a kind of seen universally online through memes and comic strips and obituaries. I mean, people were really connected to this. Did you expect this kind of grieving from the general public when the mission ended?
Well, I mean, for a mission that was supposed to last 90 days, that actually lasted almost 15 years, the expectation within the community has been, wow, the more that we're getting from this rover, the better. But we've far exceeded the requirements of the original mission. And so the last 14 years have basically just been one thick layer of icing on the cake. So the mission lifetime was totally not something that we were expecting. And I think simply because essentially most of us have grown up looking at the data that has come from Opportunity. There has been a particularly strong connection with the general public, with the imagination of people about the future of our species. And I think there is some. I think there are mixed feelings. There are feelings about we wish it could continue, but also there are feelings of wow, what an achievement! And yeah, I'm not sad that the mission has come to a close. I'm more than ever so hopeful for the future that the mission was so successful and exceeded our wildest expectations.
We've been speaking with Dan Batchelder. He's the head of aerospace physics and space science at Florida Tech. Dan, thanks so much for speaking with us.
No problem at all, Brendan. Thank you for your time.
the final transmission to Opportunity was this song, Billie Holiday's I'll Be Seeing You.
I'll be seeing you in all the old familiar places that this heart of mine embraces all day through.
Support for Are We There Yet comes from our listeners. Show your support by visiting WMFE.org/support. Are We There Yet is a production of WMFE, and our theme music was composed by Kevin McLeod. The conversation continues online. Send us a tweet. We're at AWTYMars. Or if you have a story idea or guest pitch, send me an email. AreWeThereYet@WMFE.org. And you can find more space news online at WMFE.org/space. Until next time, I'm Brendan Byrne. Thanks for listening.
I'll find you in the morning sun, and when the night is new, I'll be looking at the moon, but I'll be seeing. I'll be seeing you in every lovely summer's day, in everything that's light and gay. I'll always think of you that way. I'll find you in the